Please turn in your copies of God's Word to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4, and last time we began to consider the main section of Hosea's prophetic message to the people of Israel. This was laid out in the scene from the heavenly courtroom where Jehovah brings his charges against the people and the priests for their violations of the covenant. Here we continue this judicial proceeding against Israel, looking further at the sins of the people and the judgment that awaits them if they do not repent of their sins and turn once again unto the Lord. So with that in mind, give your attention to the reading of God's Word from Hosea chapter 4. Beginning at verse 11. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of mountains and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend. And come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Beth Aven. Nor swear, the Lord liveth, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love, give ye. The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Thus far the reading of God's Word, let us ask His blessing on it. O Lord, not only art Thou the God of our salvation, not only art Thou the Lord of all creation, but Lord, Thou art the God of judgment. Lord, as we approach this text and see the judgment of Thine hand upon Thy people, Lord, let it be as looking into a mirror and seeing that which we deserve. For we are no better than the people of Israel. O Lord, teach us from Thy word how we may be preserved from that wrath which is to come. O Lord, show us Thy truth this day in this text. Let us put aside all difficulties we may have, and let us look at the simple message that is here in our text today. O Lord, feed us, we pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Spiritual harlotry is something which had become the defining characteristic of the people of Israel. They had abandoned their first love. They had forsaken that covenant which they had with Jehovah and had turned to false gods, finding their delight and pleasure in the things of this world. The people truly were the reality of Gomer, having left all that was good, having left their true husband, just as she left Hosea. They've turned unto strange lovers. Our text this afternoon says that they had been seduced by a spirit of whoredoms, which had led them astray, causing them to err. But friends, this spirit of whoredoms, this spiritual harlotry, is not something that is unique to the ancient people of Israel. Every one of us here today have within us, because of the sin which still remains, a spirit of whoredoms which must be fought against. Too often, true Christians get seduced away from the truth, from the manner of worship which the Lord has instituted, in order that they may see the desires of their sinful heart fulfilled. This is why there are so many believers who walk away from churches which are faithful to that which the Lord has commanded, and they turn to places where their own preferences are being met. They may not completely reject the true religion, turning to false idols as the Israelites did, but they embraced corruptions which in themselves are idolatries. But friends, it's more than just the act of leaving that which is faithful to suit your own fancies. Calvin famously said that the human heart is a factory of idols. Each one of us devises in our own hearts various idols which draw us away from the Lord and are rooted in a spirit of whoredoms. So this afternoon we'll take up this theme of the harlotry of idolatry, and we'll do so by considering three aspects of our text. First, the harlotry of Israel. Next, the warning to Judah. And then finally, the judgment that awaits. So let us first consider the harlotry of Israel. Look with me at verses 11 to 14. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff delivereth unto them. For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains, and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. Verse 11 serves as a transition from the charges brought against the priests to now once again speaking to all of Israel. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Their perversions, their debauchery in which they were living had so captivated them that the Lord says that it has taken away their hearts. They've become enamored with all of the material things which they had, living in opulence, having means to satisfy whatever they desired. Those external blessings became means to drive them towards the harlotry that they came to embrace. The more wickedness they embraced, the more they were driven from the Lord. Their hearts were held captive, not to the word of God, but to their own lusts. How true is this in our own lives? Surely you've experienced this as well. The more you give in to sin, the further it drives you away from God. When you get into a rut of sin, it takes away your heart, causing you to desire sin more and more, more than your Savior. Friends, this is a dangerous place to be in, because if you do not put an end to it and reorient your heart back towards the Lord, then you will find yourself in the same state that Israel was in. Do not let your heart be taken away by the pleasures of this world and the lusts of the flesh. Instead, let it be taken up in a holy devotion to Jehovah. The people of Israel did have their hearts taken away by such things. And so this led them to put their trust in idols, those idols which they had come to embrace. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They looked for wisdom and counsel from hunks of wood and metal. Things which cannot speak, things that cannot see, things which cannot even hear their concerns. But they listened to what their stocks and their staff said to them. This seems like a contradiction to what I just said, that these idols could not speak. But what we see here is that they had fallen so far away from the Lord and heeding His word that they took heed to the utterances of whatever demonic spirit was operating through these idols. This is what stirred up within them that spirit of whoredoms. Matthew Henry writes, "They have in them a spirit of whoredoms, a strong inclination to sin. The bent and bias of their hearts are that way. It is their own iniquity. They are carried out towards it with an unaccountable violence, and this causes them to err." It was the spirit of whoredoms, this embracing of the lying spirit from their makeshift gods, which caused them to completely abandon the Lord. And notice that the Lord does not put the blame for their sins on their stocks and their staff. No, He puts the blame upon the people themselves. They had no excuse for what they were doing. They knew full well that they were abandoning that which they had been given by Jehovah in order to pursue that which they believed would be given by these false gods. And so they went a-whoring from under God. Friends, no one is guilty of your sins except for you. You cannot blame your sins on someone else or on the world or even on the spirit of whoredoms, which leads to your heart devising its own idols. You are responsible for your sins, just as the people of Israel were responsible for theirs. So the people went a-whoring. They sacrificed upon the tops of the mountains and burned incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. What we see here is the syncretism that became the hallmark of the worship of the people of Israel. They took worship practices which they had been commanded by the Lord when they were part of the unified kingdom, and they blended them with the worship practices of the pagans within the land. And so they took their worship to the high places, to the mountains and to the hills, as though the higher up they were, the closer to God they would be. They conducted their worship under the oaks and poplars and elms, those sacred groves of the pagans. So to add to their syncretistic practices, they adopted the cultic prostitutes of the pagans as well, driving their daughters and their spouses to commit whoredoms in the name of worship. And God leaves them in their own sin, saying that He will not punish them in the moment, because it's oftentimes being left in sin which drives people to repentance. These people, the covenant people of God, have become unruly, ungovernable. They took off the blessed yoke of the Lord and His ordinances, and instead took upon themselves the yoke of idols. Their idolatry was their harlotry, and their harlotry was their idolatry. And thus it is with you when you begin to mix the pure worship of God with the imaginations and devices of men. Friends, to embrace a syncretistic form of worshiping the Lord is to embrace the harlotry that Israel did, and to bring shame upon the name of Christ. And just as the sin of the people of Israel was heightened because of their being the covenant people of God, so too is it with you. Maybe even more so. You have the knowledge of God revealed in His Word. You have the manner of worship which He has commanded. Your guilt will be more grievous if you do not continue in the pure worship of God, since He has called you to Himself and brought you in to be part of His particular flock. Friends, you must heed this warning, lest you too fall into the same sins as the ancient people of God. And praise God that He does warn His people not to follow in these ways. So let us now consider the warning to Judah in verses 15 to 17. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, and come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Bethaven, nor swear the Lord liveth, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. It's interesting that Hosea turns his words from Israel to Judah when he's a prophet to the north. But this shows the compassion that the Lord has for all of His people, that He desires those who are faithful to not look around themselves to those who are being unfaithful and to fall into those same sins. Remember that Judah was the more faithful of the two kingdoms. They had a greater means of the knowledge of God than Israel did. They had the temple and the priesthood in Jerusalem so as to be able to worship according to the commands of the Lord. They had a king of the house of David who was the true ruler of the people of God. It was out of Judah that the promised Messiah was to come, the hope of the people of God. Jehovah had reserved great blessings which were in store for Judah. And this is why the prophet says, "Let not Judah offend, because more is expected from them than from Israel." They will have more to answer for if they do offend. And from them God will take it more unkindly. The Lord is telling Judah to look at all that unfaithful Israel has done and let it stand as a warning against you doing the same. They were warned, "Come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Bethaven, nor swear the Lord liveth." To understand what's being said here, you have to remember a few historic events within the Old Covenant people of God. Gilgal was a prominent site in Israel's history. It was there that the people of Israel erected the monument of 12 stones to commemorate the crossing of Jordan, of the Jordan River in Joshua chapter 4. There, Joshua encamped in preparing for an assault on Jericho, as we read in Joshua 5:10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. A century before Hosea, Gilgal housed the school of the prophets under Elijah, as seen in 2 Kings 4:38. But unfortunately, the town had become more recently a source of idolatry, so that Amos marked it as a place to avoid in Amos 5:5. And then Bethaven. Bethaven refers to Bethel, an even more significant place. Jacob received his vision there of a ladder into heaven in Genesis 28, and Abraham came to Bethel after his entry into Canaan, giving its name that meant house of God in Genesis 12. But here Hosea speaks negatively of the city, changing its name from house of God to house of iniquity. No longer Bethel, now Bethaven. This is what sin does. It changes that which was once the blessing of the Lord and a memorial unto Him. It changes it into a vain perversion and a hive of iniquity. We see the corruption of Bethel under the reign of King Jeroboam the First in 1 Kings 12:26 to 33, where we read, "And Jeroboam said in his heart, 'Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto the Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah.' Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, 'It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.' And he set the one in Bethel, and the other he set in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel. sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised in his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Together, Gilgal and Bethel represented a corrupted legacy in which the covenant faithfulness of the people had been lost. The warning was to not go and engage in their corrupt worship, to not be deceived by those who say that they are worshiping God but have adopted the syncretism of pagan religion in with the true religion. And this is because they have backslidden. They've fallen away from the true faith which was delivered unto them. As we read, "For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place." Because of their backslidden state, the Lord will feed them in a large place, a place so great that they'll be able to be fed with whatever they want. The problem with this is that when lambs feed in a large place, there's the potential to feed on poisonous plants. That's what was happening in Israel. And so he declares this final warning to Judah. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. He uses the name of the largest tribe in Israel to refer to the people as a whole. And he's saying that all the people have been joined to idols, have joined themselves to idols. This is covenantal language being used here because it is in the covenant made between God and His people that they are joined to Him. But here the people have brought themselves into covenant with idols, thus completely abandoning the covenant relation that they had with Jehovah. And so Judah is told to let him alone, to have nothing to do with him. Friends, the state of the church today is such that we are being tempted from every side to embrace compromises and syncretism. You're going to be told to embrace the changes of the culture and to justify those things by manipulating and twisting the Word of God. You're going to be told to forsake the old paths which have been laid before you in order to keep up with the times. Forsaking the God-regulated worship found in Scripture for will worship. You're being told to embrace holy days and practices which have their root in paganism. Leave it alone. Have nothing to do with those corruptions. Heed the words of the apostle in 2 Corinthians 6 and verses 14 to 16. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Friends, Judah failed to receive the warning that was given to them. And they were exiled because of that. Do not be as Judah and neglect such a solemn warning, because to embrace these things is to face the judgment of the Lord. So now let's finally cover, consider the judgment that awaits. Look with me at verses 17 to 19. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Their rulers with shame do love. Give ye. The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. The prophet tells Judah to let Ephraim alone because their drink is sour. They promise to give that which seems pleasing at first, but in reality it's a poison. These are those who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth, Amos 5:7. This is part of the judgment upon the people. The Lord will take their pleasures and turn them to pain. He will take the wine and he will turn it to wormwood. He will destroy them by their own sensuality. Henry writes, they themselves should prosper for a while, but their prosperity should help destroy them. It comes as a token of God's wrath. Ephraim is described as those who have committed whoredom continually. There is no purity left among the people. Their perverseness has caused them to be a people who are never-ending whores, both physically and spiritually. And you all know the danger which comes from physical whoredom, that there is death that is spread from person to person through the spread of diseases. This is that recompense which they receive in themselves as judgment for their vile affections, as the apostle writes in Romans 1:27. But the punishment of their spiritual harlotry is much greater than that of their physical. As we've already seen, spiritual whoredom takes the heart away from that which is good. It deceives and leads people astray. It violates that covenant which the people have made with Jehovah, and it leaves them in a state of separation. And the rulers of Israel are judged as well. Who rulers with shame do love, give ye. They're given to filthy lucre, extorting and taking bribes from the people. If you had any business that you needed the rulers to take care of for you, then you ought to expect to be asked, what will you give? Though as rulers they are bound by the office to do justice, yet none can have justice done for them without paying a fee. And if you wanted them to turn a blind eye to perform an injustice, you just had to pay the right price. Sounds similar, doesn't it? Because of all these things, the judgment of the Lord awaited the people. The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. This is speaking of that judgment which was to come, in which, as the wind picking up the seeds of the earth to scatter them abroad, the Spirit of the Lord would take the people and pick them up and scatter them throughout the region. They would be hurried away with a swift and shameful destruction. The wind has bound her up in her wings to carry her away into captivity suddenly, violently, and irresistibly. and in this captivity which was to come at the hands of the Assyrians, all those things which the people of Israel boasted in, their prestige and their heritage, their wealth, their opulence, their pleasures, their vanities, they would all be stripped away and they would be brought to nothing. They would have nothing to boast about. In fact, when this judgment came, the people of the northern kingdom were ultimately utterly destroyed and lost to history. They truly were caused to be ashamed because of their sacrifices. But what's interesting here is that this proclamation of judgment isn't given in the future tense. Instead, it's given in the past tense. The judgment of the wicked is such a sure thing, it's as though it's already happened. There's no doubt that these things will come about because the Lord has promised that it is so. What a great and terrible thing it is to know that the judgment of the Lord is at hand and yet not heed the call to repentance in order to turn unto Christ and flee the wrath to come. Israel should have heard these words and understood. But instead, they shut up their ears and they chose to remain in their sins. Will you do the same? Friends, there is a judgment that awaits, not just a judgment for the people of Israel, but a greater judgment for all those who are not found in Christ. If you found yourself identifying with Israel in this prophecy, then you must learn from them and not follow them down that path which leads to destruction. Your sins have brought you to a place that is identical to that of Israel. You have become alienated to God, despising His covenant, and you've embraced the arms of estranged lovers. Your spiritual harlotry will lead you to a judgment that awaits. And in that judgment, the Lord will cast you out of His presence to the outer darkness where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. But listen to me when I say that even in the midst of all of this, the Lord extends hope to you. We read in verse 16, "Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place." Yes, there is danger to feeding in a large place because it opens you up to feeding upon the poisonous things of this world. But there's hope that's found in this verse as well. In stating this, the Lord is actually promising that He will still be your shepherd. And if you hear His voice and follow closely to Him, then this large pasture will be filled with good food that will nourish your soul. Hear the words of Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." While there is a judgment that awaits the wicked, there is hope to be found in following the great shepherd of the sheep, Christ Jesus. So turn unto Him this day. Hear His voice. Follow Him, and you will rest safely in His arms. Brothers and sisters, this passage is one which ought to stand as a warning in our present age. looking at the world in which we live, are we much different from Israel? Looking in your own hearts, are you not also tempted by the seduction of the spirit of whoredoms? Friends, if we do not take this passage and apply it in our own lives, then we will be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and we will follow the Israelites in their ways of idolatry and syncretism. May it never be so with you. Take heed of the warning given to Judah, and let it be your warning against the false and corrupted religious exercises of our present age. And rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who feeds you in the Lord's place, the one who leads you in the way that you should go. Brothers and sisters, let us flee to Him and flee from the harlotry of idolatry. Let's pray. O Lord, we are thankful for this word which Thou hast given us. This word, though it be a tough one, a hard one to hear, it is one that we need, O Lord. Lord, we are no better than Israel was in their wicked ways. Lord, we have every right to be destroyed by Thine holy hand. But Thou hast seen fit in Thy mercy to not destroy us, but instead in Thy grace to continue to cause us to increase. O Lord, let us turn to Thee. Let us forsake all of our wicked ways, all of our sinful ways, and let us turn after Thee. Let us look to Israel as an example. Let us look to other nations who were once part of that covenanted people and have fallen so desperately far away. Oh, how we mourn over our brothers and sisters in Scotland, who once were the height of the covenanted religion and now are the depths of the wickedness of postmodern Enlightenment thought. Oh Lord, are we immune from falling from such great heights? No, we are not. Let us look to those as warnings of what happens when we do not keep covenant with Thee, O Lord. Lord, protect us as a congregation from these things. Lord, keep us from corruptions in our worship, from man-made innovations and devices, from syncretism. Oh Lord, let us keep pure Thy worship here in this place, seeking to do all that we do in accordance to the way in which Thou hast instituted it for Thy church to be observed. Oh Lord, strip us from the false pagan holy days which we in our culture hold so dear. And let us learn to love that one holy day which Thou hast given us. O Lord, protect us from the evil one and preserve us from the harlotry of idolatry. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt be faithful in these things. And we trust in the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, to guide us down the paths of righteousness. O Lord, may it be so. We ask these things in his name. Amen.